Well, it is so good to be at the sixth grade conference. How many of you, last night before you went to bed, thought to yourself, tomorrow morning I'm going to wake up, I'm going to go to school, and then after school, I get to go to the sixth grade conference? Raise your hand. Very good. Very good. Now, tonight, we're going to begin the conference, and we'd like to begin by letting you know that there are some things that we do at conferences. This is your very first conference, and this is the beginning of a life of conferences, a life of meeting together with the saints. And so one thing that I would like to say is that I'd like to strengthen a point that Brother Peter made during the singing. And Brother Peter made the point, and he said, don't forget to say,
amen.
Don't forget to say,
amen.
That's a really interesting thing about the word amen. I remember being a young person growing up and thinking, why do we say amen? And most of you have grown up in a Christian home, and you probably heard your mom or dad say, amen. Or maybe you've been sitting in a meeting and they've said, amen. Well, tonight I'd like to tell you, when you say amen, it means I agree, and it means let it be so. Amen.
Amen.
So this weekend, if you are singing something, or if the brothers up here are speaking something, and inside your being, something is going, that's right. What should you say?
Amen.
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 So
tonight, as I am speaking and as another brother speaks after me, if something touches you tonight, you don't have to say it out loud, but inside your being, you can say amen. So how about we start with a little prayer? And as we pray, as the words are being spoken, if you are touched by the words inside your being, say amen. Lord, thank you for bringing us together tonight.
Amen.
Thank you for gathering us together at the sixth grade conference.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we love you.
Amen.
Lord, tonight we want you to open up our entire being.
Amen.
Lord, open our hearts.
Amen.
Soften our hearts.
Amen.
Turn our hearts to you.
Amen.
Lord, tonight we want to open as wide as we can.
Amen.
We want to seek you and we want to find you. This weekend, Lord, grant us the grace to find you.
Amen.
Amen. So how about we all open up our, outlines? And this weekend, there will be four messages. So how about we turn to message one, which is on page 5. And how about we read the title up at the top all together? One more time. Go. Where are... So this is the beginning of every single meeting. Begins with a question. Where are you? And you will have four answers. Tonight, the answer is not a very good one. But let's read underneath where it says message one and it says where are you. Let's read those words after the dash. Ready? Go. Hiding from God. So tonight, we're going to see that the question being asked is, where are you? And we're going to see that we are hiding from God. Before we get to how we're hiding from God, we'd like to start with God's purpose in this universe. Do you know that God has a plan? God has a purpose. And you may have heard the term, the economy of God. If you've grown up in the church life, you've probably heard the term God's economy. An economy is a synonym for plan or an arrangement that God has. And God has a plan that involves you. How about altogether we read Isaiah 43:21. Ready? Go. This people have I formed for myself. They will show forth my praise. It says, this people have I formed for myself. So when God made man, he asked, or he was thinking to himself, that one's for me. I see Nathan there. When he created Nathan, he said, Nathan's for me. Each one of you, you can put your name in front of that. When God created you, he said, that one's for me. Because you are what God wants. God wants you to be a part of his plan. So let's all read together Genesis 1, 26 and 27, which is the verses right underneath it. Ready? Go. And God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Have you ever wondered what God looks like? Amen. I remember growing up thinking, God, what do you look like? I mean, I know my parents believe in you. So you must be real, but what do you look like? Well, here in this verse, it tells us. Do you know that those three words at the beginning? It says, and God said, let us make man in our image. So when God looks in the mirror, he sees someone that looks like you. In our image. You were created in the image of God. God looks like you. You look like God. Isn't that something? What is this? It's a glove. Okay, this glove by itself is created in the image of something. What is it created in the image of? A hand, right? My hand. This glove. When this glove was created, the creator thought, someone will get some good use. But if it's just sitting there, it's not being used, is it? If it's just sitting there, it has not fulfilled its purpose. So here's where we come to, what is the purpose of God, and how are you involved? This is you. This is God. God wants to get inside of you. Without God inside of you, you're a floppy glove that has no meaning of existence. The difference between this glove sitting here and the difference between this glove sitting on the side of the road is nothing without God. But when my hand enters this glove goes, ah. When God enters into you, you know what you do? Ah. There are people in this world who are trying to fill the glove with rocks and straw and music and movies and sports and entertainment. And there's no difference between this glove sitting here and this glove sitting on the side of the road, because the glove has not fulfilled its purpose. God wants to get inside of man. Amen or amen?
Amen.
So, we come to this point A and point B. So how about we all read point A? Ready? Go. We were made in the image of God according to his likeness and after God's kind. Good. And then let's read B, and then we'll read Genesis 2:9. Let's read B. Go. We were made to take God in to be our life by eating him as the tree of life. Now let's go back up and read Genesis 2:9. Go. And out of the ground, Jehovah God caused to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, as well as the tree of life in the middle of the garden and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. In point B, it says we were made to take God in to be our life by eating him. Now, this is where the example of the glove stops, okay? Because the glove doesn't eat anything. However, you do. How many of you have ever heard of the term, you are what you eat? Raise your hand. Okay, right? I have heard that, actually, my wife told me that her mother, when she was younger, fed her son, who was my wife's brother. He was a baby, and she fed him carrots for the first time, and he loved carrots. So the mom kept feeding him and feeding him and feeding him carrots. He ate the whole jar of carrots. You know what color he turned? Orange. Really, he turned orange. Because he had never experienced carrots before. And the first time his body tasted carrots, his body went, whoa, and expressed, bing, carrots. So you could look at that baby and say, you've just eaten carrots, haven't you? Right? It's the same thing with God. When we take God in, do you know what we express? What do we express?
God.
So this weekend, what we want you to do is we want you to open your being to take God in. Because when you take God in this weekend, I will guarantee you, if you take God in this weekend, when you go back to school on Monday, there's something different that's going to be there about you. You might walk onto your campus and your friend might say, what happened to you? Because you are not the same person as you were on Friday. What happened? You could tell your friend, I took in God this weekend. And now, here I am expressing God. Do you want to know how? We'll get to that later. But the point is, this weekend, we want you to open your entire being. And we want you to let the Lord have the way to come in. Because God created you in his image to contain and express him. Contain means he gets in. Express means what's shown on the outside. So this is the good part of the beginning. This is how it all began. This is God's purpose in the very beginning. And then we know the story. Unfortunately, we have to get to Roman numeral 2. So how about we look at Roman numeral 2, and how about we read Roman numeral 2 all together? Ready? Go. Now, we know the story of Adam and Eve, but I want to tell you tonight that you can't blame it on Adam. Did you ever have the thought, or do you still have the thought? If that Adam had not eaten that fruit, maybe we just, so many things wouldn't be wrong in the world. Have you ever had that thought? Be honest. Okay. But I'm going to tell you tonight, you can't blame it on Adam. Because Adam is just a representative of you. Do you realize that if you were the one there, you probably would have done the same thing. And we would have been saying, oh, that Tim. Or, oh, that Johnny. Right? He is just a representative of who we are. So let's find out what happened. Okay? How about we read Genesis 3, 4 through 6. Ready? Go. And the serpent said to the woman, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make oneself wise, she took of its fruit, and she also gave some to her husband with her, and he ate. Something got in. You remember? The glove is supposed to be filled with the hand. Is this glove supposed to be filled with water? Right? Is this glove supposed to be filled with rocks? What happened was, man knew, or man was placed in front of two trees and was given the choice. But God said, do not eat of that tree, because in the day that you eat of that tree, you will surely die. It seems like it's a pretty obvious choice, right? One is the tree of life, and the other is the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But then came in the enemy. The enemy. Oh, we hate the enemy. But he came in, and the first thing that he did was he asked Eve, did God really not ask you? Did he really tell you not to eat that tree? And Eve right away thought, And when she took of that fruit, something happened. Something got into her that caused her to be poisoned. And this is where we are all today. Because we are descendants of Adam, we have that poison inside of us. We have the satanic nature. Oh, it's hard to even say that. Inside of us. You know, I'm a new dad. My son is almost 8 years old. Eight months, thank you. In 8 years, he'll be 8 years old. And he's just getting to the point now where he's just about crawling. And we're getting to the point where we're having to start thinking about locking cabinet doors.
You know?
And I can think as he gets a little bit older, I'm going to have the talk with him, you know? Elliot, you do not touch this. You do not touch this bleach. Okay? And if Elliot was home by himself, or maybe mom was in the kitchen cleaning and Elliot was roaming around, and I specifically told Elliot, no bleach. But Elliot goes to the bathroom, and Elliot opens the bleach, and Elliot drinks the bleach. Now, me as a father, am I going to be more worried about the fact that Elliot disobeyed me? Or am I going to be worried about the fact that Elliot has bleach inside of him? The second thing, right? At that point, whether he disobeyed or not, he's got something inside of him. And this is where I'd like to begin to tell you a little bit of good news. Okay? Let's read Genesis 3, 8 through 10. Ready? Go. Sound of Jehovah God walking about in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and his wife hid themselves What did he say?
Where are you?
Good, keep going.
And he said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid because I am naked, so I hid myself.
Now, if you were God, and you had created this, Adam and Eve, and they disobeyed you, specifically disobeyed you, and remember, God is God. God knows everything. God knows the thoughts that you think. You may think you know you're going somewhere, but God knows everything about you. And it says that Jehovah God was walking in the midst of the garden in the cool of the day. And if I was God, I would have said, Adam, Eve, come on out here. You're going to get what you deserve. But God is a God full of love. And this weekend we're going to experience this. God, remember, God knew where Adam and Eve were. It wasn't like he was really looking for them. But he was giving them the opportunity. He didn't say, Adam and Eve, where are you? He said, where are you? Where are you? Something got into you. And I want to get that thing out of you. I want to save you. Adam, where are you? This shows the heart of love that our God has for us. Our God is not a God who is going to chastise you. He is not going to punish you for not believing. He wants you to come to Him. He wants you to answer the question, where are you? And tonight, right now, quietly to yourself, ask yourself the question, where am I? Tonight, am I still down at the bottom of the mountain thinking about my schoolwork? Am I still thinking about my friends? Am I thinking about the test that I took that I might not have done so well on? Or maybe the test that I did really, really well on? We need to ask ourselves this weekend, where are you? And tonight, Brother Craig is going to expound a little bit more about where we are and where we are before God comes into us as life. So I'd like to turn it over to Brother Craig. Well, we're hiding. So I'll give Brother Craig a little introduction by telling a little story. My day job down at the bottom of the mountain is a fourth grade teacher. And a couple of weeks, I had an experience with one of my girls in my class. In my box in the morning, I went in to get to my mailbox, and I got the things that teachers get out of their mailboxes. And on top was a notebook, and it belonged to a young girl in my class. And just to make sure that it belonged to her, I opened it up to make sure that it was writing. And there on the top page was a letter. And it looked like, I just kind of scanned, and it looked like it was some sort of a diary entry. And I didn't want to read it too much because it might be personal. But as I scanned, I got really worried. Now, you have to remember, this was her math notebook, and she wasn't supposed to be writing things in there. It wasn't a personal diary. It was her math notebook. So I opened it up, and there it was. And it talked about, inside there were just words that were full of hate against another girl who used to be her best friend. I hate so-and-so. She is done. And this. And this. And she's this and this. And I got so mad that I wrote this 5 times. You can use your imagination to what the this is. So here it is in my hand, right? And so that day at recess, I called her over to me. I was out on duty on the playground. I called her over. And I said, I think this belongs to you. And she opened it up to the first page. And as she opened it up, her eyes went. And right away, she started bawling. The point is this. By her writing that down, she was hiding. All of her feelings, all of those words, she was hiding all of those things. Okay? And that's how we might feel. Sometimes when we do something, we don't think anybody sees. But there is one person who sees. God sees everything. And so that girl, when I had to take care of the matter, she thought that it was going to be okay by leaving it in that notebook. She didn't count on the fact that she would leave her notebook somewhere. That notebook would get put into my mailbox. I would read it, and then I would show it to her. This is what is happening this weekend to us. We are being brought to a point where we are seeing that we are hiding from God. This weekend, and tonight especially, we are seeing where we are is we are hiding from God. So Brother Craig will take it from here, and he'll clarify some things about how we are hiding from God.
Before we go on in the outline, I'd like to just tell you that just like Brother Joseph, I too am very happy to be here with you this weekend. I'll tell you a little secret. Of all the conferences I go to where I get to speak, I really enjoy the sixth grade conference. It is a really good time. And we are going to have a very enjoyable time together because together we are going to meet the Lord. Amen. This weekend we are going to enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
So Brother Joseph told us some good news at the beginning. He told us that you and I, we are very special in God's eyes.
Amen.
Because we were made for God. Who were we made for?
God.
Who do we belong to? God. That's right. And Brother Joseph, he used the example of a glove. It's made for a hand. Isn't this glove perfectly made for this hand? What is the best thing to fit inside this glove? A hand. Is there anything better that would fit inside here? Nothing better would fit inside here. Because this was made to contain a hand. You know, another little reason why I like the sixth grade conference is along with the glove, I like to use this example. And this gives me a good excuse to buy, what is this? Coke. And what is it inside? What's this? It's not just a bottle. What kind of bottle is it? It's a Coca-Cola bottle. That's what it is. It's not just a bottle. It's a Coca-Cola bottle. So on the way up here, I thought, oh, I need a Coca-Cola bottle for my illustration tonight. And as you can see, I enjoyed a little bit of the Coca-Cola. But this is not just any old bottle. It is a Coca-Cola bottle. What is it made to contain? What is the only rightful content for this bottle? Coca-Cola. Well, you and I, in a good sense, we are God bottles. That's right, we are God bottles. And that means we're only good for one content. What's that content? God. That's right. If this Coca-Cola bottle had Sprite in it, that wouldn't look so right, would it? That is the wrong content. Oh, if it had Pepsi in it. Maybe something that looked like Coca-Cola, but it's not Coca-Cola. In fact, it's the enemy of Coca-Cola. Pepsi, right? Well, we laugh, but that's what happens. In the beginning, before we made the right choice, before our representative, Adam, made the right choice to take God into his bottle, into him, God's enemy came in and tricked Adam to take in the wrong content. So Adam caused man to take in something other than God, in fact, to take in something from God's enemy, Satan. And this came into man, it came into Adam, and it has passed on to all his descendants, from descendant to descendant. This thing called sin is in all of us. It is in all of us. And Adam and Eve, after they took in the wrong content, after they took in sin, they had a reaction. They had a reaction to hide from God. And tonight, we want to tell you that all of us, we have the wrong content. We have sin in us. And we need to know that sin causes us to hide from God. When you do something wrong, you want to hide what you have done wrong. The way you can hide something is you try to cover it up. One time, when I was about your age, my father bought me a knife, a hunting knife, and it was sharp. And I was in my bedroom, and I was itching to cut something with it. I couldn't help myself. And I was just in my bedroom, and I had a nice comforter on my bed, and I couldn't help it. But I just to see what it was like, I just ran the blade of my knife just over my comforter. And to my shock, my comforter was cut, and the stuffing came out. And I couldn't believe it. And I couldn't undo it. So I tried to hide it. I tried to fold my comforter up in a way that you couldn't see the cut anymore. Do you think that was wise? Do you think my mother found out? Yes. I couldn't hide it. So we have to know we cannot hide by covering. Another way that we try to hide something is we try to hide it with a lie. Many times, I will be in the same room with my child. I have 3 children. And they will do something that they know they shouldn't do. They might say something to one of their siblings. They might take something that they shouldn't take. They might do something that they shouldn't do. And even I'll see them do it. And then I'll go up to them and say, "Did you do that?" And many times their first response is, "No. No." What is that? That's a hiding. Trying to hide. Another way we hide is we run. We run away from the person that we have wronged. Maybe you try to hide from your mom or your dad. One time at the dinner table, again, I was about your age. I don't know what it is about your age, but I did a lot of naughty things at your age. One day I was at the dinner table with my family. We had finished our meal. My father was sitting at the head of the table in his place. He had a piece of bread on his plate, and he had buttered it. And he said to us, "What am I going to do? I am full. I am full. But I have this piece of bread. I don't know what to do with it." And I, sitting next to him, thought it would be very humorous. And I said, "Dad, I know what you could do with it." And I picked it up, and I pushed the bread into his face. Thinking that was so funny. Then when the bread fell off his face and I saw the look on his face, I realized I had crossed a boundary. I had crossed the line. I had gone too far. And I was in trouble. Do you know what I did? I was gone, out the back door, down the driveway, as fast as I could go. And as I got to the boundary of our property, there was my dad's voice. "If you leave the property, you will be in twice as much trouble." Twice as much trouble. Oh boy. But I kept running. I kept running around our property trying to avoid him. Eventually, my mother came out, calmed my dad down, got me to stop running. I received some help in various ways to realize I had crossed the line. But the point is, that response in that situation to hide was to run. Well, this is in all of us. When we do something wrong, we hide. And tonight, we need to read what the Bible tells us about people who try to hide from God. Okay? So let's come to our outline. Let's come to Roman numeral 3. Let's read Roman numeral 3 together, the bold. But no one can hide from God. But no one. No one. Can you? No. No one can hide from God. This is the truth. The Bible is God's word. The Bible is truth. What the Bible tells us is true. Let's read Luke chapter 12, verse 2 and 3 together. But there is nothing covered up which will not be revealed, and hidden which will not be known. Therefore, what you have said in the darkness will be heard in the light,
and what you have spoken in the ear in the private rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops.
This is the truth. Let me read through this verse again. We're going to read it slowly, and we're going to stop at certain phrases. We're going to stop at certain words. But there is nothing. Nothing. Not one thing. Not one exception to this rule. There is nothing covered up which will not be revealed. And there is nothing hidden which will not be known. Nothing. Do you think that there is something you can hide from God? Do you think there is something that you could cover and God wouldn't see? Let me tell you another story. When I was younger, we had an elderly lady that lived across the street from our house. The next door neighbor, she was the same age as me. In fact, many people thought we were twins. One day, we had a plan. Our next door neighbor, she was very elderly. She used to have the local baker deliver fresh bread to her house, and used to deliver it to the mailbox. The mailbox was built to have a part on top for the mail to go in. Then it had a larger compartment on the bottom for the milk and the bread to go in. So she used to get the fresh bread delivered every day. And in those days, you may not believe this, but the bread was not sliced. Yes, there were days where there was unsliced bread. It came in a whole loaf. And she had a big tree between her mailbox and her front door. So I went over there with the neighbor. We took the bread out of the letterbox. We went and we stood behind the tree, thinking that we were covered, thinking that we were hidden. Then we were very clever. We peeled the top part off, the heel or the crust, we peeled it off, and then, oh, the inside is the best. Fresh baked bread. Then we picked the white bread out, and we ate it. Oh, it was so good. And the best thing is we were convinced no one would ever know. Then when we were done, we put the crust back on the top, put it back in the bag, and we put it back in her letterbox. Oh, nobody saw us. But what we didn't realize is maybe we were hiding from her, but we were not hiding from our mothers, who on the other side of the street, one had looked out the window and seen what we're doing and had called the other one and said, "You better look out your window." And everything we had done was seen. We thought it was hidden. We thought it was covered, but it was seen. Well, it's the same with the sins, with the things we do. We may think nobody else saw it. We may think, aha, I was able to tell a lie, to hide it. Aha, I was able to cover it up. Mom and Dad didn't find out. But somebody saw. God saw. You cannot hide. You cannot cover anything, not one thing from God. Let's go on. It says, nothing covered up which will not be revealed. It will be revealed. Hidden which will not be known. It will be made known. Therefore, what you said in the darkness. So it's not just the things you do. It also includes the things you say. Oh, how many times do we say something we shouldn't say? And how many times do we say it under our breath? Your mom says, go clean your room. Okay, Mom. And as you turn to walk away, you say something under your breath. And maybe your mother didn't hear you. But therefore, what you said in the darkness will be heard in the light. God heard. And what you have spoken in the air, in the private rooms, maybe in your room, you said something about someone, about your parents, that was not right, thinking nobody heard, but God heard. What you have spoken in the air, in the private rooms, will be proclaimed on the housetops. There's a brother who shared last year, and he told a story that one day his younger brother made him mad. And he went into his room, and he took a piece of paper, he took a pen, and he wrote every bad word he knew about his brother on that piece of paper. He wrote every word that he knows he is not supposed to use. And he did it in his room, thinking he was hidden, and he wrote it on the paper, thinking nobody saw. And then when he was done writing those words, he folded the paper up, and he put the paper in the trash can in his room. The next day, he went to school. While he was at school, his mother was cleaning his room and found the paper in the trash. When he came home from school, there was his mother waiting for him with the paper. And everything that he had said about his brother, every word that he had used that he shouldn't have used, was known to his mother right there. Well, this is the same with God. He knows. So let me ask you, can anyone hide from God?
No.
Okay, let's read some more verses. Let's have the boys read Revelation 6:15-16. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the generals, and the rich, and the strong, and every slave and free man, hid themselves in the caves, and in the rocks of the mountains.
And they say to the mountains,
and to the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him who sits upon the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. Talk about when God's judgment begins, the people on the earth will want to hide from God, but there'll be nowhere to hide. Okay, let's have the girls read Amos 9:1-3. Ready? Any one of them who flees will not flee away, and any one of them who escapes will not slip by. Though they dig into Sheol, from there my hand will take them. And though they go up into heaven, I will bring them down. And though they hide at the top of Carmel, from there I will seek them and take them. And though they hide themselves from my sight on the floor of the sea, there I will command the serpent,
and it will
will bite them. This verse is very clear. There is nowhere, nowhere you can go to hide from God. You cannot go down. You can't dig a hole down into the earth to hide. You can't go up into the heavens to hide. You can't get into the space shuttle and fly away into space. Whether you go down or you go up, God can find you. Even he said, you go down to the bottom of the sea. He knows you there and he can send a serpent to bite you. So is there anywhere? Is there any place you can hide from God? No. Okay, then let's read together Psalm 69:5. Oh God, you know my foolishness, and my sins of guilt are not hidden from you. This is so good. Oh God, you know my foolishness. My sins of guilt are not hidden from you. A, every covered thing will be revealed. Every hidden thing will be known. God knows all our foolishness and our sins. God knows. So if you can't hide, then what should you do? Don't hide. So let's come to Roman numeral 4 and read that together. God is coming to seek each one of us this weekend, and he wants us to seek him. This is so good. This is the burden tonight. It's to help you all see, do not hide from God. Instead of hiding from God, God is coming this weekend to seek you, Amen. To find you. Amen. So let's not hide from him. Let's read Luke 19:10 together. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And I will read Luke 15:4 and 5 to you. Which man of you who has 100 sheep and has lost one of them does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? Amen. And when he finds it, he lays it on his shoulders rejoicing. Amen. You have to realize you are that one lost sheep. In the Lord's eyes, you are that precious that he is coming to find you. Amen. He is coming to seek you. Amen. So let's not hide from him. So let's read this excellent verse, Psalm 27:8 together. When you say, seek my face, to you my heart says, your face, O Jehovah, will I see. This verse is so good. It says, when you, God, say, seek my face, to you, God, my heart says, your face, O Jehovah, will I seek. You know, it's good to take God's word and make it into a prayer. So we're going to end this meeting with some prayers from God's word. Okay? So I'm going to say a prayer and you're going to repeat it. Amen. Your face, O Jehovah, will I seek.
Your face, O Jehovah, will I seek.
O Lord, this weekend I seek you.
O Lord, this weekend I seek you.
Good. So let me read A. Don't hide like Adam and Eve when God calls you. B. We have to be like the psalmist who is seeking God. This weekend, what should we be doing? Seeking God. Very good. Let's read Roman numeral 5 together. We can all seek and find the Lord by calling on him while he is near. This verse is so good. I want us to read this with much exercise of our being. Okay? Ready? Seek Jehovah while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let's have the boys. Seek Jehovah while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Okay, girls.
Seek Jehovah while he may
be found. Call upon him. Oh, this is a wonderful verse. Right. This verse tells us now is not the time to hide from God. Right. Now is the time to seek God. And when we seek God, we can find God. So we're going to end this meeting by again using this verse for some prayer. Okay? I'll say the prayer and you repeat it. Ready? Oh Lord Jesus.
Oh Lord Jesus.
Thank you that you are seeking me.
Thank you that you are seeking me.
Oh Lord Jesus.
Oh Lord Jesus.
I seek you this weekend.
I seek you this weekend.
Oh Lord Jesus.
Oh Lord Jesus.
Thank you that you can be found.
Thank you that you can be found.
Oh Lord Jesus.
Oh Lord Jesus.
Let me find you this weekend.
Let me find you this weekend.
Amen. Very good. Okay, we're going to stop the meeting here, but we have a lot of important announcements. And I think one of them involves the word snack. So I advise you to listen in. Okay, Brother Rich. Oh, yeah.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, I have a few announcements. The localities and trainees who have not yet registered, a responsible serving one should go immediately to the Sequoia Lodge after this meeting is dismissed. So when the meeting is dismissed, if you haven't registered, please go immediately to the Sequoia Lodge. It's right over there. If you are the only serving one, your young people should stay here and remain seated until you return. If there's another serving one from your locality, they can take care of your young people. Is that clear? Amen. Two, serving ones should collect all cell phones and electronic items and lock them in vehicles. We don't want any electronic devices, no cell phones. No Game Boys, no toys. If you have one, please give it to your serving one. They will lock it safely in the vehicle so you can safely enjoy the Lord all weekend. If you need to make a call, you can check with your serving one who will tell you there's no reception up here, except very rarely. Anyway, there's ways to make a phone call. Certain spots in the camp, a serving one can make a phone call for you. They can go to their car and get a phone. We really want to preserve the atmosphere of the camp. We're on a sanctified mountain.
Amen.
This is a holy place.
Amen.
So we don't want to be distracted by worldly things. Satan will use all these things to distract us. So we just take away his tools. And we exercise our spirit. We enjoy the Lord.
Okay.
So when your serving one asks you for your electronic thing, you will say,
Amen.
That's right. Amen. Gift shop. There is a gift shop over here. Young people are not allowed in the gift shop unless accompanied by a serving one. And no more than four young people per serving one. Memory verses. There are memory verses. 88, 89? 88, 88. Listed in your book. Every year, some young people memorize every verse. So don't think it's impossible. It's more than possible to memorize all these verses. But memorize as much as you can. To memorize the verse, you must recite it word perfect to a serving one, and the serving one will put their initials by the verse. You have to get it perfect. You only have to memorize it just for the one time you say it. Thy word is found, and I did eat it, and it came to be the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Your word is found, and I did eat it, and it came to be the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Okay, good. That's it. You don't. But if you say something wrong, if you leave out a the or a or you say of instead of on, or some, it doesn't count. You have to say it again. It's good to say it again.
Amen.
It's good to speak the word.
Amen.
So when your serving one says no, you can say, hallelujah, I got to speak it again. But it was really close. Yes. And now I got to say it exact again. Hallelujah. If a verse is repeated in your outline, it only counts once. So you can't say, I memorized these two verses. I memorized the same verse twice. It's not bad, but it only counts once. If a partial verse is quoted in your outline, you have to memorize the whole verse. Find a Bible, because you have to memorize the whole verse. Even if only this much of the verse is quoted in the outline, you may have to memorize more. Multiple verses quoted together are counted separately. If you have to memorize John 1, 1 through 3, all three verses count as three separate verses. And verses must be recited word perfect. Word perfect. Every word has to be right. Amen. We like to speak the God-breathed word of God perfectly. Okay, number 5. Make sure your name is written on your Bible, your hymnal, and the folder that you got today. If it's not written on it right now, you'll find that they look very much alike. So write your name. Borrow a pen from someone right now if you don't have one. Please write your name on your folder. Also, check to make sure that your Bible and hymnal, if you brought those, they also have your name in them. Can I borrow someone's book? Ooh, it's a nice one. Can I borrow yours, Noah? That's too nice. Okay, in your booklet, in the back inside cover is the conference schedule. We want you to be aware of this. This is the schedule for this weekend. Tonight we're only 10 minutes away from a snack, you may notice. Snack is at 9:15. Then we'll have cabin time at 9:30 tonight. And then we'll go have lights out at 10 o'clock. Tomorrow morning at 6:30 a.m., all the serving ones should come to this chapel for prayer and fellowship. All the young people should remain in bed asleep. If you're not asleep, at least you can do the remain in bed part. Young people are not allowed to get out of their beds until 7, okay? Serving ones, come here at 6:30. Young people, stay asleep until 7. Actually, the young people aren't supposed to wake up until 7:20. You may say, well, I want to get up early and take a shower. That's not allowed. If you're a young person, you're not allowed to get up until the serving ones say you can get up. 7:20, young people wake up. 8 o'clock, young people have breakfast. 9 o'clock, morning meeting. Morning meeting will get over, and then we'll have lunch. For every meal at this camp, 8 o'clock for breakfast, noon for lunch, 5:30 for dinner. For every meal, a bell will ring 15 minutes before the meal to let you know that it's almost mealtime. Sometimes we'll be in a meeting. Don't be distracted by the bell. Keep enjoying the Lord. We'll dismiss you. You'll eat, I promise. We won't cheat you out of your food. Lunch is at noon tomorrow. At 1 o'clock is recreation, and that'll go from 1 to 3. At 3 o'clock, you have to be on your bunk quiet. This is not only for you, it's also for the serving ones. You'll understand someday. But it's very important. You also need the rest. We need you to be able to be attentive, to receive the Lord speaking. If you're too exhausted, then you get in the evening meeting and you say, well, I'm full of energy at 4 in the afternoon, but in the evening I'm wiped out. So please, at 3 o'clock, be on your bunks getting some rest. If you can't sleep, at least lay quietly and memorize some verses. That'd be very good. You can't recite them until after rest time, but you can memorize them. 4 o'clock, there'll be an afternoon meeting, singing, testifying, special fellowship, very enjoyable. Then dinner's at 5:30, evening meeting 7:15. Tomorrow night we will again have a snack, a cabin time, and a lights out time. On the Lord's Day, serving ones are again here at 6:30. The young people again get up at 7:20, breakfast at 8, morning meeting at 9, lunch and cleanup, and then we leave at 1:45. One new rule for those of you serving ones, they want all the cabins emptied of all our contents by 9:30 a.m. on the Lord's Day. So when you get up that morning, everybody pack up. You can put your things in the gym. You can put them in your cars. But please have them out of the room before the morning meeting on the Lord's Day. That's a new rule. Okay, tonight, because we run a little late on Friday night, lights out will not be until 10:30 p.m. Okay? We want lights out. That's not when you start brushing your teeth. That's when the lights are out. For every cabin, we would like you to keep your cabin unlocked when you're not in the cabin. At night when you're sleeping, if you want to lock the door, that's okay. But when you leave the cabin, always make sure your cabin is left unlocked. There is a thermostat at one point for each wing of the building. That serves like five rooms. Please don't touch it. If you touch it, you may ruin someone's life far, far away from you. So, if you're too warm, open your window. If you're too cold, get under the covers, put on a sweater. You should be fine, okay? Don't touch the thermostat, please. Remember, we all signed a rules and regulation form, an agreement to come up here. We're going to take this camp seriously. We're going to exercise our spirit. We're going to enjoy the Lord. We're not going to be distracted by anything other than Christ. So please remember that. Take short showers. There's only so much hot water. Don't use too much. Your shower shouldn't last more than 5 minutes. Please keep the campground clean. Tonight we're going to give you a snack. The snack comes in a wrapper. The juice box has a straw that comes in a wrapper. Please don't throw that on the ground. There are trash cans around. If you can't find a trash can, put it in your pocket. When you get to your cabin, throw it out there. Please do not litter. We want to leave the camp cleaner than we found it. Also, please remember we're in a wilderness. Don't go off. Don't go outside the camp without a serving one. Don't go outside the camp except during the daytime when you can go for a hike with a serving one if you'd like to during the recreation time tomorrow. But please do not go out. This is a wilderness area, so please stay within the camp. If there's an emergency, let your serving one know. Serving ones, you can contact me. We're going to keep a walkie-talkie in here. I'll have one by my bedside table. If there's an emergency, please call me any time of the night, and we'll deal with it. Anything else, brothers? Okay, we have one more announcement.
Well, it's so good that this is your first camp, right? You guys get to go to your first camp and you're in sixth grade. That is no fair. We had to wait till we were in junior high school before our first one. The saints really love you all. Well, at a camp like this, there are certain things that we should do and should not do. And one of the things we should do is come to the meetings, right? Come to the meetings. And not just come to the meetings, but come to the meetings on time. And even you can come a little bit early and start the meeting. You can start the meeting. Okay, when you're in the meeting and the meeting is started, you may not distract others. I'm saying this so when your serving one gives you the elbow because you're distracting somebody, you'll know what they're talking about. And you'll know they're just doing their job. Okay, they love you and we all love you, but you may not distract others at this camp. Capiche? That means understand? Okay, no distracting others. Something else we want to just let you know is when you're in the meeting and there's a hymn, right? And we're singing the hymn. We're all active in singing the hymn. And then after the hymn, we enjoy the hymn like we just did, right? We stand up, we declare it. Then if you have a hymn that you'd like to call, you don't have to raise your hand. We just started like that. You stand up, maybe just by yourself or with somebody else, and you strongly declare, let's sing hymn number, whatever it is. Okay? And then if somebody calls a hymn and you wanted to sing, don't argue with that person. No, let's sing another hymn. There's no competition when we're calling hymns. And don't call a hymn too quick. Let's enjoy a hymn first. Let's exercise over it. And then at the right time, stand up. And we have to believe the Lord is leading this meeting in all of the saints. Okay? Last thing that we would encourage you both to do and not to do is we would encourage you to go to the bathroom before the meeting. What's the key word in that sentence?
Before.
Before the meeting. It's like taking a long trip in the car. last call, go to the bathroom before the meeting. And the thing you should not do is go to the restroom during the meeting, unless it's a, you know, absolute tragic emergency and you just, you know, then get permission from your serving ones and they will discern whether it's an emergency. And if they say no, you should have went before. Because something happens. Everybody wants to watch the person get up. It's so interesting. You know, they've never seen someone stand up before. They want to watch somebody get up and walk out of the room. We could be up here doing flips and nobody will see us. But it's the walker out of the roomer that gets all the attention. So I'll make a deal with you, okay? I have seen... Okay, do you know who Brother Lee is? Okay. Have you heard of the life studies? He wrote those. Okay, he has given us many help. He has been a Christian for a long time. I have seen him in hundreds of meetings over the years. He has gone to be with the Lord in 1997, but I saw him one time in hundreds of meetings get up and go to the restroom. One time. He was 90 years old when he did that. So here's the deal. You can get up and go to the restroom one time during a meeting. But you have to wait till you're 90 years old. Okay? And you are nowhere near 90 years old. So go to the restroom before the meetings. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, we're dismissed. You can exit out this door and exit out that door on the side.